We lean on you. We ask for help. I ask for fresh mercy under the covering of my fathers to enable me to preach, teach, and minister this word so that it will be a living word, an oracle of God, that purity and clarity, power and revelation will flow out of you through your word into our lives today. So that, Lord God, in your light, we will see light. And a fresh, Lord, work will be done in our hearts, making our wills more submitted to your will. Our minds further filled with the light of revelation, flooded with your light. And our emotions further controlled by the power of the fruit of the Spirit. So there'll be a transformation, lifting us onto higher ground in the name of Jesus. Father, we also pray, and as your word goes forth, Lord God, Lord, you will cause yokes to be broken, blind eyes to be opened, strength to come to our feet and our ankle bones, so we will receive the motivation and the enablement to be doers of the things that we learn. And if we're doing that already, then do it with greater zeal, with greater joy, with greater revelation, to the praise of your glory, in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we ask that needs are met. And meet us at the point of our need. And as we gather unto you, Lord, help me to be concise. Help me to be precise. Not saying unnecessary things. Redeeming the time. And bringing forth out of the treasure of the word things new and old. As a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. So your name will be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. As we go into the word once again this morning, it's a great honor for me to bring the word, and I want to give honor to my fathers, Pastor Luby. Thank you, sir. And Mommy Sarah, thank you so much, ma'am, for your love and your example and your intercession that is changing us and molding us day by day. Amen. And has set us on the path of destiny. We're so grateful to have you as our fathers. It's a real privilege. And we want to say thank you. Thank you so much. I pray that this word will bring refreshing and joy to your hearts. And it will bring refreshing and strength to you, my brethren. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Thank you, Jesus. All right. So in our last lesson, we're in the book of Galatians. And this is a book that Paul wrote to the Galatian church, you know, because they were going back from faith to Judaism. You know, the Jews had come and had brought a message that, you know, they were required to keep the law of Moses, which had been done away with, not in its entirety, but all the ceremonial practices had been done away with because the substance, which is Jesus Christ, had come, you know. And it was there Paul wrote this letter, very strongly worded letter, to correct them and to illuminate their understanding. And one thing we've learned so far is that Christianity is a journey that you go on with light. You know, it's important to have the light of revelation. Otherwise, you can lose the things that you've gained. Amen. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. All right, so in our last lesson, we were in Galatians chapter 3. Verses 15 to 29, and that's a long stretch, but we're not going to read it all. Just flip through it, and he's talking about the covenant that God had made. Says, brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be but a man's covenant, yet it be not confirmed, no man disannulleth or added thereto. So the Apostle Paul is saying that even in natural covenants, when a covenant exists, you cannot annul it. Once you've agreed to it, you are bound by it. You know, and he went on, we saw that he was saying that God already made a covenant with Abraham. And so the covenant that God made with Moses could not have been superior to the covenant God made with Abraham, because the covenant God made with Abraham was 430 years before the covenant God made with Moses. And that there were people living all the time with God before Moses. Amen. Joseph was before Moses. Jacob was before Moses. Isaac was before Moses. They all had covenant with God. So the point he was making was that you cannot, don't let people give you half-truths. And those are the best lies. The best lie is a half-truth. He has some truth in it, so you think everything is true, but it's not true. And that's why we have to be wise, you know, to discern, you know, to be able to see, using the word of God, where the truth ends and where the lie begins. So we're not deceived. And he brought out by revelation that the promise is not unto the natural seed. The promise is to the spiritual seed. The spiritual seed of Abraham is Christ. Because Abraham sacrificed his son. And so God was bound to give Abraham and his seed his own son. And so it was a son-son exchange. You know, so that son is the seed, singular, and not the natural seed, plural. Amen. Now, of course, if natural seed, plural, key in into the faith of the son, singular, then they also become part of the seed. Amen. So it was a very powerful legal argument. You know, and it opened the eyes of the Jews, and God is also opening our own eyes to understand that, you know, everything in Christianity is by faith. You cannot inherit by works. Inheritance is of faith. He made that point later on. And not of works. You know, because, you know, if you're doing it by works, then you earn it. And you cannot earn it because it's by grace. You know, and he pointed out that the fundamental reason why works were not acceptable is that there is no work you can do that will rid you of the sin nature. The problem is that Adam ate the fruit with Eve and they had the devil's nature replacing God's nature. And that devilish or demonic nature contaminated the entirety of creation. But God didn't give up on his plan. God wanted to restore man back into the Garden of Eden just in the state that Adam was. And so he now sent a perfect son, sinless, having the divine nature, spirit, soul, and body. And that perfect son gave his life, nature, in exchange and took man's death, nature, in exchange. So that legal exchange is what set men free. Men are not free from poverty and sin because Jesus just died for them. They're free from the sin nature. It is that sin nature that brings about poverty, sickness, oppression, and all whatnot. Well, you know, very clear argument. I know God wants us to understand that is the root. So in everything that we want and we're following God for, we must always understand in the back of our minds that if we have more of God, that's why the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, you know, he will give us, you know, freely all things with his son. You know, God gives you what you ask for, but the physical thing you are asking for is not the most important thing to God. The most important thing to God is the nature he's giving you and I to make you more like him. So God can take us from being receivers to givers. He wants to create givers. It is more blessed to give than to receive. So he wants to make man back in the image that he made him in the Garden of Eden, where man is the one that is now in charge of creation. Amen. And so that we see that, you know, and that is what we were learning in our last lesson. So we see that the law was a temporary solution to the sin problem. It was to keep the sin nature in check, give them a set of rules. Okay, so in trying to obey the set of rules, at least they will stop sinning. One, and two, as they keep those rules, they will find out that when they want to keep the law, there is something in them that makes them unable to keep the law. So they will discover that there is a nature inside, and then they will cry out to God for help. And then God will be able to help them. That's why the Bible says, I desire mercy and not sacrifice. God, that was the spirit behind the law, the Old Testament. God wanted mercy, to show man mercy. discover you can't help yourself. Reach out for help, and I'll be there for you. Amen. That was God's plan. And Jesus was the permanent solution to sin, because Jesus took it away. The Lord covered it, you know, and covered it for millennia. I mean, covered it for 4,000 years until, you know, Jesus now came. And then when Jesus now came, he now made all men, Greeks, Jews, male, female, made them equal by faith. Amen. Made them all equal by faith, and that's the will of God, you know. So you know, you Bible says that we are equal heirs, you know, joint heirs through faith and fellowship and friendship with God, you know. And that's a thought that God dropped in my heart this morning as I was preparing. Let's look at Amos chapter 3 verse 3. Amos chapter 3 verse 3. Give it to me in the Amplified, please. Amos chapter 3. Right. Do two walk together except they make an appointment and have agreed? God wants to walk with his people. Look at the leaders of Jesus' time, leaders of the church of Paul's time. God wanted to walk with them. But God was going one way and they were going another way. Look at it in the Message Bible. Give it to us in the Message Bible. Right. Do two people walk hand in hand if they aren't going to the same place? It's very serious. What's God saying here? He's saying that the goal God had in mind was not the goal that the leaders of the church had in mind. God was talking about revelation of his purpose and the fulfillment of his purpose. The leaders were concerned about their place, their political position in the scheme of things, so that the people would be looking up to them, waiting for a military deliverer that would deliver them from the Romans. So they were more interested in politics and their possessions. Because with politics, behind politics is money and influence and possessions. So they and that was more important to them than the revelation and fulfillment of God's purpose. So when Paul was preaching, that's why they killed Jesus. When Paul was preaching these same things, they came under threat again. It's the same thing. This man wants to take away. He wants to take away our position, you know, and all that, you know. Anytime the truth comes out, and people and leaders that are insincere see that the people of God are responding to the sincerity of God's word, they get threatened. Same way it will happen in Ephesus. Great is Diana of the Ephesians. Because people are believing on Christ. And these people, they are coppersmiths. You know, so they know the people will stop making idols. Then they will stop paying for us. We will lose our job. No, the secondary things become the primary. And that's bad leadership. Okay, and we have to be careful about that, because you know, as God begins to grow us up and bring us to a place where we begin to, you know, inherit the glory of God and begin to demonstrate the glory of God, we're going to threaten their place. No, and they're going to see it as a threat, you know. And as they wanted to kill Jesus and could not do it until he allowed himself and gave himself up to them, and they wanted to kill Paul until he had finished his course, they will also come against us. But God wants us to know ahead of time that we can hide ourselves in the secret place of the Most High. Amen. And that's the place we are supposed to be living, so that we can declare God's glory as a witness to our generation. God needs the people on the earth to do that. Amen. So they cannot touch you and I. Amen. You know, I mean, they can try, but we are going to keep ourselves the way the Lord Jesus kept himself. Amen. You know, and that's the whole idea, because, you know, when you keep yourself, the wicked one will not be able to touch you. And that's the purpose of, because God needs a generation to close the age. And the age, you know, at night in your house, when you go to bed, you close the door. Nobody can go out again. And nobody can come in. Because you did what? You locked the door. The same way in the morning, you open the door. So every time you shut the door, everything stops. Nothing can go out. Nothing can come in. Now, God needs us to finish up his purposes on the earth and then lock the door to the age so that we can go into the next phase. Otherwise, Satan wants to prolong it. But he has failed in Jesus' name. So you have to be around to open and shut. Amen. You have to be around. And so that's why we know that God is going to keep us. Amen. As we hide ourselves in the secret place of divine love. Amen. And when this glory comes, no, it's going to demonstrate to those that are approved amongst the leadership in the church. Amen. There is the David church, you know, that God approves of. And there is the Saul church that God has rejected. Okay? There is the Ahab church and there is the Elijah church, you know, that God has approved. Amen. And it's important to be understand these things so that when the glory comes, you're not taken aback or surprised. You know, you are expecting it because, you know, you are threatening their place. Ahab said, "Have you found me, my enemy?" Look at 1 Kings chapter 21. He's the one that is the enemy of Israel. But you know, before you accuse them, they accuse you. You know, they project what there was going on in their mind on others. 1 Kings 21, verse 19 to 20. Yes, this is God talking to Elijah, telling him, go and meet Ahab. He has just killed Naboth. They take people's possession. That's their job. They preach about your possession. Yes, they will tell you that you have possessions so that you can be like them. And they tell you that you must give of your possession to get that possession that you want. So they are all about taking, not about giving. Amen? All right, let's read it. And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, hast thou killed and also taken possession? And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, second time, in the place where the dogs licked the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood, even thine. Next verse. And Ahab said to Elijah, hast thou found me, O my enemy? He's calling him his enemy. And his enemy it is. And he answered, I have found thee, because thou hast sold thyself to work evil in the sight of the Lord. That statement is instructive. He sold himself. What does it mean to, Bible says, sell, buy the truth. Sell it not. When you sell yourself, you give away the truth that would have changed you and made you more like God. You give it away. You despise it. You don't care about it. That truth that is supposed to set you free from the sin nature, you give it up. So you now sell. That truth is yourself. Your life is hidden in the truth in God. That truth is supposed to unveil to you more of your real self, who you really are in God's scheme of things. But because you reject the truth, you reject light. Because the Bible says the entrance of his word giveth light. So you reject the light. So you keep walking in darkness like the prodigal son. He was doing things and he thought he was doing the correct thing. And the Bible says he came to himself. So that means that there were things that he should have known, that if he had known, he would not have made the decision that he made. And then he now came all the way back. But at last, I mean, thank God that he made it so as by fire, but he lost his inheritance. But God is saying that we need to take heed to the truth. You need to keep receiving the truth. Keep submitting to the truth. Keep walking in the truth. That is what is changing you and I and translating us from where we are to where God wants us to be. So when the devil is coming against us in the air, he will not be able to destroy us. Because we will be led by the truth. We will be kept by the truth. Amen. And God is now has opened and continues to open unto us a book of remembrance, where he will write down the names of all those that fear him and think upon his name. That's love. You know, to perfect the love of God by the fear of God and by meditation and walking, knowing the works of the Spirit, you know, keeping spiritual law, you perfect that love so that you can, your name can go down in God's book of remembrance. Those, once your name is in that book, that's it. So we're not trying to make the book of life and make heaven alone. We want to make the book of remembrance. I want to be bright gems in God's crown. Amen. It's very important. And look at Romans chapter 8, verse 9. It's very important to know these things that we're talking about so that we can understand what the criterion is. Because many times what we hear in the church is diluted. Look at, give it to me in the Amplified Bible. Romans 8, 9. Right. But you are not living the life of the flesh. It's talking to you and I, as children of God. You are living the life of the Spirit. If the Holy Spirit of God really dwells within you, directs and controls you. Stop. He's not talking about just being baptized with the Holy Spirit. He's talking about the fact that your baptism in the Holy Spirit is bringing you into one, fellowship, and two, friendship with God. Amen. That's what God made Adam for originally. It was for fellowship and friendship. Amen. And that's what he's talking about. And he says, but if anyone does not possess the Holy Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. He does not belong to Christ. He is not truly a child of God. What's he talking about? He's talking about the character of God. You are not of Christ if you don't have the character. Thank God we are born again. So we are children of God. But God wants to brand, he wants to put his brand on you and I so that it is unmistakable that this one is a child of God. As we allow the Holy Spirit to do what? Direct and control us. So we are controlled by the love of God. We are directed by the love of God. We are motivated by the love of God. That is what Apostle Paul was bringing. And that's the message we need to understand. So, brethren, it's not enough for us to just, you know, be Christians. Our Christianity must result in a transformation of our character so that people can see God in us. Amen. All right, let's go to Galatians chapter 4. We begin from verse 1. See how far we can go. Let's read it together. Galatians chapter 4 in verse 1. Thank you. Now, I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. Next verse. But is under tutors and governors. I can't hear you. Thank you. Until the time appointed of the Father. Next verse. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. Next verse. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Amen. Verse 5. To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive what? The adoption of sons. Amen. Right. Okay. We're trusting the Holy Spirit. Have mercy on us, Lord. Amen. All right. So verse 1. Yes. The heir, you know, natural example, God make it simple. Prince George is the heir to the British throne. He's firstborn of Prince William. Okay, right now we have King Charles III. Then Prince William is the Prince of Wales. Then Prince George is heir after Prince William. He's a child, 10 years plus. It's going to be 11 in July. He's a child. He's heir to the British throne. You can't change it. That's how he was born. When you are born again, that's how you are born. You are born to be a king. Bible says that he is King of kings and Lord of lords. You are born to rule, but you are a child. Just like he is a child. though he's Lord of all. So what does God now do? The same thing men do. You know, look at the natural and then you draw an analogy to the spiritual. He puts them under tutors. So Prince George has tutors and governors. They tell him when to change. They tell him when to get ready for school. They prepare his food for him. And they tell him no to do his homework. He can't watch TV until they say so. They're tutors and they're governors. He has to obey instruction left, right, and center. And because he's royalty, there's some things he cannot do that other children can do. Just by virtue of his birth. Because he's going to be above all. So his training must be a bit different from everybody else's. That's what God is doing for you and I. Amen. We are spiritual royalty. And God places us under tutors and governors of fivefold ministry so that they can prepare us for that great place God is taking us. Amen. And the discipline is a bit constricted. It's a narrow road. So there's some things others can do that you cannot do. But wait until the time that the inheritance comes. Amen. Then you know that we are not all the same. Amen. All right, verse 2. Thank you. On the time upon the Father. Now, look at two things. So, the heir is set for the throne. But there are two things. He's under tutors and governors for training. Now, those tutors and governors not only train him, they also determine when he will be released. Two cannot walk together except there be an appointment. So, there is an appointed time. When he will be released to become the king. And that time is determined invariably, in the physical, is determined invariably by the reigning king. When the reigning king dies, automatically the time has come. But in the spiritual, it's not so. The kings are alive. You now come up into the company of kingship. You can't force your way in. There is a time. So everybody say training, say time. Say training, say time. Your response to your training determines the time. Amen. So this is what let's look at Ephesians chapter 4 quickly. Give it to me in verse 12. This incidentally we say every Sunday. How privileged we are. Amen. All right. Now give it to me from verse 11. Verse 11. So you can understand the spiritual that he's talking about. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Stop. Holy Spirit said to me, tell them, you cannot stay at home and be reading your Bible and praying and grow to become where God wants you to be. You cannot grow into maturity on your own. You have to submit yourself because that's just God's system. Otherwise, you're going your way and God is going his way. That's why you need the truth. Okay? You cannot ignore it. So he gave some. Next verse. And this is why he gave some. One. Next verse. Thank you. Next verse. For the perfecting of the saints. That's the first thing. Clean us out. That's what perfecting means. To clean us out. You hear that term, perfecting, perfection. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, what does that mean? Perfecting. It's very important to understand that. So that we can shed light on that word, perfecting. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 2 in verse 2. Bible says the heir is a servant. Right. All right. It says, as newborn babes or babies desire what? The sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. Next verse. If so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. So when you are born again, that's tasting of the Lord. That he is gracious, you become a newborn baby. in Christ. There is no double promotion. There is no speeding up the process. You know, it's the same for everybody. The day you get born again, spiritually, you become a newborn baby. Your spirit is recreated in the image of God, and there's residual sin nature in your soul and your body. That is the state of a spiritual baby. Amen. And that's why he says, desire the sincere milk of the word. Because that milk is, what does milk do to babies? It grows them up. How do you know milk? That's what it does. It grows them up. But after a while, they cannot take milk alone. The diet has to change. Amen. And so God begins to give them more solid food. So you have pap, you know, Cerelac, you know, Milupa, all those things. Thank God, far away. Man, you have different flavors, different ages. Be looking for, it's more than this age now. God has delivered me. Amen. Brethren, if you are in that situation, rejoice. It's going to come to pass. Amen. 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 But what are we saying? Diet changes. Because energy requirements change. And what you are doing before is not enough now. So we need to be growing. The amount of time you spend reading your Bible needs to be increasing. The amount of time you spend praying needs to be increasing. You cannot be using the same time all the time. Sometimes you will not even pray again. You are not meeting your energy needs. There's an energy deficit. And if you don't correct it long enough, you know, God forbid, it will not be our portion in Jesus' name. You can develop spiritual kwashiorkor, spiritual marasmus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And that one, if it affects you, it can cause vitamin deficiency. It can cause bone deformity. And that bone deformity, as a spiritual person, it would exclude you from the priesthood and the kingship you are born for. Very important. You know, you could not be a Levite in Israel if you had hunchback, you know, if you are blind. If you had a deformity, you could not. You know why? Because it means that you have not been growing as you have been growing. Now, that was physical. But what God was saying was spiritual. If there's a damage to your stones, you cannot reproduce. All those things were symbolic. You have to be standing upright. Your bone should not be bent, hunchback. So it's disqualified. You cannot be blind. You have to be seen. You have to be able to reproduce. So all those things, living things reproduce. So God is talking about to us, the life of God must be flowing in you in a measure that is increasing. So you must be subject to spiritual discipline. It's very alien, the word discipline in the church. But God wants us to make disciples of all nations. We must be disciplined. You cannot give what you don't have. So that's why we submit ourselves to discipline. That's what Isaac did when he submitted to his daddy. Daddy, there's no ram here. Daddy said, God will provide himself a ram. And the boy lay down and disciplined himself. As a disciplined boy, are you disciplined? If God says you can't have it now, are you disciplined to have it? If God says that you should, you give that thing and give it out, are you disciplined to obey? If you are not keeping the law of life, you're not receiving life, you're not praying, you're not fellowshipping with God and spending time, you will not be able to obey. And obedience is where it's at. Because that's what God is asking for. That's the training. Imagine them training Prince George and he's rebelling. You know, he's not agreeing. He's talking to the teacher in the class. He said, I pay your salary. That's is abnormal. They will quickly call him and tell him, what are you doing? And discipline him. They can train him at home. They send him to school like other people. Feel what they feel. So when you are king, you know where everybody else is coming from. It's very important, brethren. God is making, the Bible says, send forth his son made under the law. What everybody else is subject to is what he is subject to as well. Made of a woman, made of a woman. The church. Amen. All right. So we see that. And we see in 1 John chapter 2, verse 12 to 14, that from baby, as you take spiritual nourishment, you grow into little child. From little child, you grow into young man. Let's look at it. 1 John chapter 2. It's a Bible study. So we need to look at it. 1 John chapter 2, verse 12 to 14. I hope you're getting something out of this. Amen. So begin to wind down. All right. Yes. So I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. Next verse. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. Next verse. He's giving you and I the characteristics and qualities of little children, young men, and fathers. So we can know where we are and aspire for higher ground. Amen. Verse 14. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you. And by it, he didn't say that, but that's, you have overcome the wicked one. What is God saying to us? God is saying to us that, you know, when we know God as babies, you know, just like natural physical babies, they hardly know their parents. Maybe after 6-8 months, then they can recognize, you know, socially, you know, they call it social smile. They can begin to recognize, so they can smile. There's a flash of recognition, you know, and all that. It gets better. You know, as they grow older, when they become a little child, over 1 year, 2 years, you know, of course, now they begin to know who their dad is, who their mom is, but they don't really know you, but they know your face. The same way in as Christians, we know God, you know, as little children, we know God. We know that we have been born again. We know that, like it says, verse 12, give me verse 12 again, verse 12. You know, he put it very, says, yes, because your sins have been forgiven for his name's sake. So you know that you are a bona fide child of God. You have that witness of God on the inside. You know, so that witness is will be talking to you and telling you. So you know God by the witness of the Spirit. Okay? And that's one level of knowing God. But you cannot stay there. You have to grow. And that's where the nutrition and the nourishment now comes in. Because that's why you now have fivefold ministry, you know, so that they can feed the church, they can train the church, and they can teach the church. Amen? So that teaching is what makes us grow from babyhood into maturity. So we grow from little children into young men, where you now begin to understand what the word of God says. You have revelation on understand of the authority that you have in Christ. You are able to exercise that authority and use it to overcome the wicked one. And then you come to a space of spiritual fatherhood, where you know you now, as it were, know him that is from the beginning. All those things represent decreasing measures of the nature of sin and increasing measures of the life of God. That's ultimately what it is. The life of God keeps increasing, and as it increases, it begins to mold your thinking, shape your mind. The Bible talks about the mind of Christ. You know, it's different from the ordinary mind that you had before. Amen? Way different. Because the life of God, you know, has come. And he said something in verse 3. He says, children are under bondage to the elements of this world. And they are under bondage to the elements of the world. Verse 3. You know, children are under bondage to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Let's look at verse 12. Ephesians chapter 4. We looked at verse 4. Verse 13. Ephesians chapter 4. Yes. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So God's emphasis is for the church to grow. We need to grow. It's natural to grow in the physical, but brethren, it's natural to grow in the spiritual. It is unnatural to remain the same in the spiritual realm. Amen. God doesn't want that. No, and that's what he says. We have to grow up onto a perfect man. What is perfection, therefore? When you say somebody is a perfect man, perfection is a condition spiritually in which the residual sin nature in the soul and body has been completely removed. That nature has been totally, is being washed out, and in its place is being replaced by the life of God. That is perfection. Amen. And that is the state Adam was created into. It was the state the Lord Jesus was born into. Amen. All right. And that, so we are supposed to grow into perfection. That's why he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 9, he says, no, we wish even your perfection. The apostle talking, you know, we are happy when we are weak and you are strong, because ultimately our desire is to see you walk in perfection. So perfection is the will of God. God wants his children to grow up, and true spiritual leadership also want their children to grow up. Amen. Look at Luke chapter 5, verse 48. As we begin to close. Luke 5, 48. Thank you, Holy Spirit. 48. 5, verse 48. Maybe I should. 5:48. Luke 5:48, verse 48. All right. All right. It says, "Be ye perfect." I beg your pardon. Matthew 5. Oh, I beg your pardon. That's why he had challenges. Okay. Matthew 5, verse 48. Matthew 5. Matthew is in Mark. Okay. All right. So it says, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." Nature. Perfection is a nature change. So that nature change that began initially when you got born again, you take it to its full completion. That's the beginning of the journey, because you are now back in the state that Adam was in the Garden of Eden. So we come back to zero. Right now we are below zero. And that's why we need to grow. Because that's what God is doing, okay? And the Bible, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. It says, let us, that is God's charge, "having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness," that's the nature, "of the flesh and the spirit," doing what? "Perfecting holiness in the fear of God." So you see that fear of God, the attitude there is very important to receive the life of God, so that we can now, as we pray and walk with God, remove that nature until we remove it totally and completely. Look at James chapter 1, verse 4. James chapter 1, verse 4. God wants perfection to be our priority. Amen. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be what? Perfect and entire, wanting nothing. God wants us to be perfect. That perfection is the foundation for maturity, because we now grow in maintaining the perfection, and we maintain it until we get to maturity. Look at Lord Jesus Christ, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8 to 9. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8 to 9. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Hebrews 5. Right. Now, but I'm reading. The Bible says, "Though he were a son, Yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect. Now, he was already perfect. He was talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, sinless, spirit, soul, and body. So the perfection he's talking about here is not the perfection that Adam had. He, by the time he grew and grew as a child of God, he learned obedience and came to a point where the Bible says he became mature. That's the word there. It's that word, the mature. He now became the author of eternal salvation to all that obey him. God is looking for sons. No, children that are going to become saviors. Servants that are going to become kings. Amen. And the difference is that the servant is subject to others while the king takes care of others. Not the same. Not the same. So we see here the Lord Jesus, you know, now making a transition to a point where he was a son, you know, he was a son of God, you know, born sinless, but he now came into sonship, maturity, in the state of perfection. And it was in that state now that he became the author of eternal salvation. You know what, brethren? As we grow spiritually, we begin to learn to minister life to others. We also begin to minister salvation to others. You wash people's feet. You minister life. You pray for others. You know, you begin to know, cause God's kingdom and God's will to be done, not just in your life, but in your community, in your place of work, in your family, in your nation, and in the nations of the world. You are ministering life. You are just like a little king, an author writes something. You are ministering eternal salvation, things that affect the eternal destinies of people in the place of intercession. Very important, because you know, as we grow, our mindset must change from playful things to serious things. The Bible says, when I was a child, I thought like a child. I understood as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. God is looking for people that are not concerned about what they are going to minister to others than what they want for themselves. The emphasis changes from self to God. Amen. That's why the church of God, the end time church of God, Bible called, Papa Kenny Vernon referred to it, you know, as a Christ-centered church. You know, it's kingdom-oriented. And it's anointing based rather than this one where everybody's need, you know, it's a mentality. God wants us to grow up. And as we grow up, we begin to grow up in our mentality. You know, the life of God begins to wash away the sin nature. Our priorities begin to change. Our perspective begins to change. And then we can now walk with God because we are more agreed. As we grow older, we are more agreed with God and we can now walk with him. Let us bow our heads as we pray. Let's talk to God. As you grow, it's important to change that mindset. Full submission. Submit more and more to God. The more you submit, the more life, the more truth, the more power flows into you. And it changes and transforms us to become who God wants us to be. That's why he says he became the author through obedience and discipline. He became. The same way every child can only become king by becoming mature. So let's repent and talk to God. And let this be your priority. There are other things in Christianity, but we enjoy those things while we keep our focus on the priority. Plan of your submission. We must be growing in submission until we get to the level of submission the Lord Jesus had. He says, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest. That's the rest God is talking of. A state where the sin nature is totally flushed out. Submission brings us into rest. Let us pray. Pray and say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me this morning, showing me that to be Christ, I must learn greater and greater measures of submission. Have mercy on me. Help me to learn of you meekness and lowliness of heart, so that by the word of God and by the power of the Holy Spirit, the sin nature that makes me proud or stubborn will be flushed out progressively, allowing me to enter into rest so that I can look above and see your glory that is about to be released and be a partaker of the same glory. Have mercy on me to be faithful, to be diligent in maintaining the law of the Spirit of life, so that I'll be a vessel unto honor in this time of your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us pray in the Spirit. Japreke ko sangue divana. Binke ko la ramaku sotenka. Lef repika tonta belenen. Binke de beberi conta. Ropoku segennale. Jeke la banote. Baroko sontie. Riengo lo bonum. Teramosa katomo shekete. Robo bobo bobo kat. Rene be kotane beleka. Kange de beberio. Benka de beberi kokotua baba babaria. Je prekero rambe kande kosoto reba baba baba koto masante do teto beke kan kenge de beberi kota rambo kushaka se koto do kashaka tali rembe keta aroba hunta je ke de bemeta bakolea je warina mari benka de beberi kokote. In Jesus' name, amen. It's time for us to receive of God our healing. And as we go into this time of healing, I want to just believe God. Be like the woman with the issue of blood. The Bible says that she had been going around to many physicians and was nothing bettered but grew worse. She was looking for a blessing. She was looking for healing. But when she saw the Lord Jesus Christ, something told her, you can be like this man. Instead of looking for others to do for you, you can become the one that wants to do for others. Yes, that's what God is saying to us, brethren. Make that switch, like the woman with the issue of blood. Want to be the giver. Make that. And the Bible says, when she did that, even without Jesus' permission, with the Father God in heaven's permission, life flowed and made her whole. God wants to touch you as you change your mindset. Focus on touching his righteousness, more righteousness, more obedience, and the other things you're looking for will follow after. Heavenly Father, we thank you for everyone whose hand is raised up for a need, healing, deliverance, physical and material needs. Father, as we make that switch, thank you for virtue that comes out of you under the covenant of our fathers to make them whole in the name of Jesus. We break the power of every spirit enforcing sickness, lack, or infirmity in the name of Jesus. And we declare the Son of God has set you free. You are free indeed. In the name of Jesus, let's pray in the Spirit. Rabaka koshenge de bebedi, baba kosameta, jefrekero, rabakatole, jekenemba, beleland, roboko, belelabai, jefrekero, regale bebedi kakatoa, regale bebedi kakatomama, menga bako soto bele, rabakasote, robo, belele, rabakate, bengara, bankreka, bokoliva, rabakasto, jekeleva matia. In Jesus' name, amen.